This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. The Tuyang Initiative works with the indigenous communities of Sarawak to promote their culture and heritage, with the aim of both preserving them and creating sustainable economic activities for these communities. The initiative is taking part in this year's Yayasan Saim Dabi Arts Festival, which is happening this weekend, and one of the performers who will be featured is Matthew Ngau Jau, renowned Sape master who was declared Malaysia's Living National Heritage by the Ministry of Tourism, Arts and Culture. That was his music that you heard at the beginning of this show, and you'll be hearing more at the festival, of course. Matthew joins me today together with the Tuyang Initiative co-founder, Juwita Tatanwan. How are you both today?
Very good, Sham.
Fine, fine.
So, Juwita, tell me a little bit about the Tuyang Initiative.
The Tuyang Initiative is a social business, and our area of focus is in Dayak cultural heritage. Dayak is just a general term for indigenous communities in Borneo, specifically in Sarawak and Kalimantan. Our focus is in inclusive development and promotion of talents, products and services. We're conceptually about 2 years old, however, officially operated about the past year. So that's the Tuyang Initiative in a nutshell.
And it's structured as a social enterprise, I believe.
Yes, it is.
Right. And how was the idea for it conceived?
The Tuyang Initiative, it came from a place of a sense of responsibility, because both the other co-founder, who's also my father, and I are considered privileged. He was from a generation who grew up in the longhouse, but was given the opportunity for education, got a good job, and subsequently had us, brought us up in similar manner. That's something that not a lot of people in our communities experience. So for us, going back to our village every year, we started seeing that, you know, while the world is progressing, the communities, especially back in our longhouse, isn't. So we thought about the idea of what can we do to immediately highlight the communities, and not so much about plight, but how can we give pride to the community despite its challenges. And we thought something that is inherently within us is our cultural heritage. It's something that doesn't go away, even if you are an urban dweller. So, basing on that, we started playing with the idea of what can we do to showcase this and make sure that every layer of community has a chance to play a role in promoting and the development of cultural heritage.
What is exactly the idea of making the cultural heritage into something that is sustainable?
We toyed with a couple of formats, because cultural heritage is very broad. It covers everything from language to performance arts, and, you know, all the way down to crafts. So what we have explored, at least in the past year, was the performance arts. That is visual and easy to engage with the general public. So we started with that, and Matthew was one of the talents that we started working with. And from there, we started developing products with him. We looked at classes in a formal setting that he can conduct out of Kuching. We've had students from KL who flew in just to learn from Matthew. We've also taken Matthew to Singapore to teach students there as well. So we then discovered, hey, there's a market and there's a demand for this. What is the next product that we could venture into? And that's how we started developing demonstrations and exhibition formats that can give people a chance to explore and discover different aspects of our cultural heritage.
And Matthew, you yourself have, of course, been a living legend in the field of Sape for 30 over years. You've partnered with Tu Young since last year.
Yeah.
What prompted you to create this partnership?
Okay, yeah. So, thankful so much to Juwita. So, yeah, last year she approached me and then to join her. And then I said, yeah, it's a very good idea because this is one way whereby we can really promote our culture. Yeah, because all this while we never do it properly, you know, we never do it professionally. So with Juwita coming in like for the past 1 year now plus, yeah, so we are doing fine, yeah. So we can promote our culture, you know, properly now, yeah.
What is different in terms of what Tu Young does compared to before?
Oh, before, you know, people just engage me, you know, just call me anytime, without no program at all. So I just go and there's no negotiation and so on. With her, with this Tu Young initiative, yes, there is a proper negotiation of, fees, look after my social, my welfare well. Mm. Yeah. Like now today, for instance, I just come, I just fly, everything is look after.
Mm. So it's bringing that professionalism and also fair treatment for the artists and the practitioners.
Exactly, yeah.
Right. Why was this missing, do you think?
Before this?
Yes.
Yeah, I think people don't, my own people like her, yeah. Besides, nobody see this type of a business, to say, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so our culture is very rich, so it's very good of her to make use of our culture to go forward, you know, and to encourage the young one.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, by doing this, more people will come up, you know, yeah.
What do you think, Juwita? What was the missing link before something like Tu Young came along?
For me, back home at least, I think we take it for granted. It's something that's readily available and therefore people think that, you know, why is the value of, let's say, Uncle Matthew is less deserving of, let's say, Sheila Majid. No offense to Sheila Majid, right. But, you know, in terms of legendary status, I think they're legends in their own fields. But the treatment isn't the same.
Mm.
And I think that's not fair because I worked in the entertainment industry formerly. And I see that, you know, for someone who has done so much in practicing aspects of our culture, it is only fair that he is treated like a legendary artist. Mm-hmm. And even with that gap, I think, comes from that whole taking it for granted, I feel. In KL or in any other parts of the world, we don't feel that because people understand the value of what we do is, you know, it's something that's unique and they're interested in hearing it. Whereas, I think that's why that gap sort of exists.
From reading your manifesto, I suppose, one of the things that you mentioned is to use the economic gains from culture and heritage and funnel it back to the communities of Sarawak itself.
Yeah. So how we see it is that, we've got systemic challenges that exist right now. And, you know, not only systemic, we've got socioeconomic challenges, especially in the rural areas. And, you know, those are problems that's going to require a lot of players in order to make real change happen. But what we thought was an area where we can slowly and softly get people to understand and know about our people is through cultural heritage. And having said that, there are so many ways that members of the communities can contribute. You don't have to be a sapit player, but you could be a skilled carpenter. So you could learn how to carve out a sapit, for example. Or if you're, especially in the rural areas, in the case of, let's say, basket weaving, if you are a weaver, chances are you are the one who harvests the rotan, you are the one processing it, you are the one that's, you know, finishing the product and then selling it off. Why can't we contribute more people into the value chain, you know? So that way it involves multiple layers and economically it makes sense for everybody to gain.
So at which stage does Tuyang get involved in terms of, do you see yourself more as that fulfilling that agent representative role, or do you get involved from the start and sort of work along the process?
Well, at this point, we are trying to initiate it directly from the start. We work with multiple partners and talents from different communities. So we can have that initial conversation to understand what's going on at each village or each community. And then from there, we understand now, for example, a community is, rotan is growing, it's flourishing in their village. We start thinking of how to build that system or delivery and how we can maximize that for everybody. It's something that we're focusing more, especially areas of crafts, towards the end, final quarter of the year. We actually just recently received a grant from Shell under its sustainable development grant that will help us in delivering this for next year.
Matthew, can you tell me a little bit about the challenges that are faced by arts and culture practitioners in Sarawak?
Oh, yeah. Like in my community, yeah, the Orang Ulu, yeah. Our culture, especially the craft, especially my instrument, give example of my instrument. At one stage, it is dying out, you know. Mm. The old people that are good in playing, they are no more in the longhouse. So the music also die, follow them. So the young one all went to town, yeah, and then left no more music to play.
Mm.
So then myself, at one stage, I was, the tourism invited me here and there. Then it seemed that I'm the only one being invited. Where are the rest of the Sapit players from other longhouses?
Mm.
So from there, I realized, so our culture is, dying out at one stage. So now it is coming back now. I am very pleased because the government also recognize us, the Orang Ulu, very small community, you know. Then I awarded me with that award, so I feel very proud. It's not for me, it's for my people. And since then, I see a lot of changes, you know. Young one coming up to play and come to learn Sape. They realize. And you see, in town now, most of the band playing, for sure, there will be Sape with them. Sape is there, see? So I feel very, very happy about it. Mm. Yeah.
Do you work with different communities in Sarawak?
At this point of time, because we're just slightly over a year old, we've started with the Orang Ulu, primarily with the Kenyah and the Kayans. Mm. But we do hope to branch out once that we have validated.
To Bedayu, to Iban later on.
Yeah, correct.
We can do that.
Well, we need to take a break now. But when we come back, I'd like to hear more about what we'll be seeing at the Yayasan Saim Dawi Arts Festival, both from Matthew and from the other performers that you've brought down.
Sure.
I'm speaking to Juvita Tatanwan, who is co-founder of the Tuyang Initiative, and Sape Master Matthew Ngao Jiao. We'll be back after a short break. You're listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. I'm speaking to Juvita Tatanwan, who is co-founder of the Tuyang Initiative, and Sape Master Matthew Ngao Jiao. Tuyang is representing Matthew and several other Sarawakian performers in this year's Yayasan Saim Dawi Arts Festival. So who else will we be seeing at the festival, Juvita?
The other two talents that we have are equally special people, I think. We've got Adrian Joe Milang. He's a 21-year-old Kayan young man who will be talking about the ancient oral art form of the Parap and the Tegnat. Mm. Parap and Tegnat is one of those art forms that you would never experience if you do not live in a longhouse or if you've not gone to a Kayan event.
So is it a form of storytelling?
It is a method of storytelling. Mm. It's the Parap is more Parap impromptu.
Singing.
Yeah.
So the old people only knows how to do that.
Yeah.
It's
so combination of storytelling and singing?
Yeah.
Wow, wonderful.
He is one of the youngest practitioners, if not the youngest, I
youngest,
think.
Youngest, So far,
He's one of the youngest.
Normally, old people only can do this.
Yeah.
And what language will it be in?
It will be in Kayan.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
We are Kenya.
And Adrian is Kayan. Yes.
So in terms of the performance itself, will there be translations? How will it work?
So Adrian will be doing a talk. He will explain the context of what Parab and Tekna is and who the Kayan people is. And then there will be an interactive session where people can become his chorus for him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he'll introduce the language as well as, and sing along. Yes, correct. The other person that we have is Rose Belare.
Rose Belare.
She is a Kenya Jamok, and she's a craftswoman and someone who has championed women folk in rural Baram for a while. She's organized opportunities for income generation in agriculture and crafts. So this weekend, she'll be teaching people how to weave something simple, which they can take home with them. So, we hope to have a lot of participation in that one.
So is this the first time Tuyang is actively participating in a festival?
Well, in this sort of showcase setting, yes. We actually recently concluded
In Singapore?
Yeah, it was an art and craft exhibit in Singapore Botanic Gardens. Mm-hmm. We were part of the launch of the Ethnobotany Centre.
I see.
Yeah, so we had an art demo there. But in the case of an arts festival, yes, this will be the first time people will be seeing our sounds and sights of the Orang Ulu showcase.
And Matthew, what will you be presenting at the showcase?
I have many activities seems there laid out for me. One is, talking about the sapé, the history of sapé, and then perform maybe, play some tune and our folk song with the sapé. And later on, the student can come over and learn the instrument from me, the sapé, and touch the instrument.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, because you are also one of the renowned sapé makers in Malaysia,
right? Yes, I do sapé too. I make sapé.
And you mentioned earlier that you are noticing that there is a revival of interest in sapé. When you come over to Semenanjung, what kind of interest do you get when you participate in festivals like this?
So far in Semenanjung here, I don't really perform much here, But there are my friends here. There are many. One of them is my first student, a lady,
Alena Murang.
Alena Murang, she seems to have, many fans. So people here are interested in our music. So hopefully this festival, this weekend, more people will come.
Jovita, what do you hope to achieve with bringing performers from Sarawak and, eventually from other communities as well, other than the Orang Ulu, to festivals and to events in places like Kuala Lumpur in Singapore? What does that do for both the initiative and the communities that you work with?
How we see it is the moment we have the opportunity to showcase the wealth of culture, because there's just so much that we have yet to share. And I think having platforms like Saim Dabi Arts Fest is a great way for us to just, touch the tip of the iceberg. And hopefully that will launch us to be able to showcase even more diverse aspects of not only the culture, but the people. This weekend, we're only going to be showcasing about two communities, which is the Kayan and the Kenya. There's so much more to explore, and we hope that opportunity will help us.
How do you balance between a sense of authenticity and preserving the roots of the culture versus when you bring them out to perform or to introduce some, and especially when you're talking about economic profits? How do you balance those two aspects?
Well, I think that is our little unfair advantage, because we have insights because we are from the community ourselves. And the challenge that are existing is happening to our own communities. So we have a sense of responsibility to ensure that we balance cultural integrity as well as commercial value. We have turned down shows where people want us to just, you know, put on any other costumes and perform any other dances. And we said no, because we're working with community talents. You know, they are proud of that, and they should be performing their own dances and their own songs. That is what I feel the Tuyang brings to the table. We understand that part of it without crossing the line and having that challenge there.
Because that is one of the problems, isn't it? When we apply a tourism lens to places like Sarawak, or actually really any cultural activity, where it becomes all about what can sell.
Correct.
What will people want to see?
Yes.
And then you lose out on the meaningful aspects of that cultural practice.
Yes, you're right.
Matthew, maybe you can tell me a little bit about the importance of something like Sape, as well as other the rich culture of Sarawak, in terms of the connection to the community itself.
Yeah, Sape, as you know, is our instrument. Yeah, it's, let's say if we have festival, without Sape, the festival is incomplete. Lah, you know, so very important the instrument to our festival,
our traditions,
our
and
tradition, and so on. Yeah, so that's why when I'm teaching Sape to the children, you know, to the young one nowadays, they are very exposed to the modern music. You see, so they come, and some of them, after one or two lessons, maybe they give up because you see, this is very traditional. Some are meeting that way. But I insist on them, if you want to learn Sape, you got to learn the real Sape, the root, the original Sape. And then if you want to venture later on, it's up to you. You see? So first you must know what is Sape.
Right? Yep.
That's how I stress on my student. You know? The student, they understand. So like now, for instance, we have many students. And as you see now, I'm very happy because there are many bands now playing Sape. Yeah. No, no doubts they are more contemporary, you know. But it's okay. My Sape is alive now, everywhere now, you know.
Yeah.
And who are some of the other arts practitioners that you're currently working with besides Matthew and the two others that you've brought down for the festival?
Well, those three are who we're currently focusing on. Next year, we hope to expand the repertoire a bit more. But I think our focus is on the products that can be delivered by these three talents. We're, again, only scratching the surface. The talents that we work with are all very multi-talented. Adrian dances as well. He does the ngajat.
Rose is a dancer
and singer. As well. So again, it's inherently part of us. So what they are currently offering for the festival this weekend is only just the tip of the iceberg. So we're yet to fully discover our existing pool of talents and their capacity. And I think that's where we're going to focus on for now.
In terms of the way you work, rather than just seeing yourself as the connection between, say, someone like Matthew and the larger business arts community, do you view them as partners in terms of learning from them as well and learning what you can do to improve the initiative, perhaps make this something that is more inclusive?
Yes, definitely. That is exactly the mission of the Tuyang. We want it to be inclusive. So everything we do, even developing classes with Matthew, we talk about, you know, what is important to him. And as he mentioned, you know, it's important that people learn about the history of the Sape and not come in and technically learn it the same way they would learn a guitar. Similarly with Adrian, he is a very vibrant and vocal 21-year-old boy who's very passionate about what he does. And I work closely with him on how we could help develop products that could get the Tekna, the different Tekna stories out there to a wider audience. So these are the kind of things that we do with our talents. So that's why I feel we will not necessarily expand our pool of talents so fast. We want to be able to develop more things with our existing talents. And with that validation and that proof of concept, then we can start applying it to different communities, expand into different parts of Sarawak.
What are your hopes for the Tuyang Initiative? What's next for you?
Well, for us, at least for the final quarter, we're going to be focusing on delivering the two key pillars that we're working on, which is the performance arts and crafts. We are in the midst of coming up with different sort of performance products as well, and working with different industry experts in areas of performance arts down to people in the craft industry, arts and crafts industry, to help us come up with something that's more, it's more enriching, it's more uplifting for members of the community to participate. And then we hope to roll that out and kickstart the process of where we were talking about having multiple people across the value chain participating in delivering cultural heritage products.
Mm. And Matthew, what are your hopes for the arts and culture from Sarawak?
Oh, my hope is very high. Yeah, yeah.
So hopes with the always
yeah,
should be high.
with this Tuyang Initiative is building up now. Yeah, hopefully, yeah. Our culture is moving in the correct direction. It's not like before this, everybody seemed to claim this and that. Yeah, mm-hmm. So we have to make sure that this is like Sape is belong to me. It's not belong to you or you know something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So with this, what we are doing, we are helping our culture to grow better. You know?
Thank you very much, Matthew, and thank you, Juvita, for joining me today.
Thank you, Sharmila.
I look forward to watching and learning from your performance at the festival.
Yes, see you this weekend. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to Juvita Tatanwan, who is co-founder of the Tuyang Initiative, and Sape Master Matthew Ngaujau. Matthew is one of the performers being presented by the Tuyang Initiative at this year's Yayasan Saim Darby Arts Festival, which is happening on the 18th and 19th of August at the Kuala Lumpur Performing Arts Centre. For more information, visit ysdartsfestival.com.my, and for more information on the Tuyang Initiative, you can visit thetuyang.com. If you missed any part of this interview or any previous Front Row segments, you can download the podcasts on our BFM app. Matthew will now be treating us to a performance with his sape as we say goodbye. You've been listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.